This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Consumer prices rise in Japan, and that's a good thing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Here in the U.S., economists would be more than happy if gas and food prices came down a bit. That would give consumers more confidence and provide a boost to the economy. But in Japan today, economists are cheering news that the opposite has happened. Consumer prices rose by 0.6% last month. That's the first increase in 2 years. The BBC's Roland Burke is with us now from Tokyo with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
So is this all earthquake-related, the reason consumer prices are rising?
It's certainly partially earthquake-related. The earthquake and the tsunami, of course, knocked out some of Japan's nuclear power. That means the country's had to import more fuel. And, of course, oil prices have been going up. There are some other reasons, though. A year ago, the government made changes to the amount that people had to pay for high schools. That distorted the figures then. It's now worked through the system. So we're seeing this rise in prices today.
And why has deflation been such a problem in Japan for so many years?
The underlying problem in Japan is that the country is getting older. More and more people are retiring. So there's downward pressure on wages. I think the other thing is that it really becomes a habit for people. You know, companies start to pander to people's needs to pay less. McDonald's, for example, introduced 100 yen, you know, just over a dollar menus a few years ago. There's a battle between companies to make jeans for the cheapest possible price. You can buy a pair of jeans for about $5 now in Japan. Once you're in that downward spiral, it's very hard to pull out of it.
Well, are people excited that prices are finally rising after all these years?
They certainly don't seem to be. I think perhaps because the government is saying that this is just a blip. They're not saying that deflation has been beaten. They just say that in this month, because of these unique circumstances, prices have risen. But the ongoing battle that's been going on for years now to beat deflation, that's still going to have to be fought over the months to come.
The BBC's Roland Burke in Tokyo. Thanks, Roland.
Thanks very much indeed.
Well, here in this country, we'll be spending about 40% more on gas this holiday weekend than we did last year. In fact, prices will be the highest on record for Memorial Day. But as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports, that's not likely to keep people at home.
AAA predicts an 11% jump in Memorial Weekend airline flights, even with higher ticket prices this year, and the number of people driving to their vacation destination will be just about the same as 2010. AAA's president, Robert Darbolnay, says surveys show Americans are willing to make other sacrifices to afford the extra cost of gas.
What we spend on shopping will be trimmed some 21%. What we spend on food and beverage will be reduced by 17%. And our expenditures that relate to hotels and other accommodations will be down some 14%.
Gasoline prices have been falling for the first time this year, in part due to anticipation of a slowing economy. But analysts say if oil demand stays strong this summer, those lower prices will be temporary. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher across Europe and Asia this morning, up about 0.6% right now in London. Japan Airlines has chosen Boston as the first destination it'll fly to with the new Boeing 787 Dreamliner next April. The launch of the fuel-efficient airplane has been delayed for almost 3 years because of supply chain and labor issues. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow edged up 8 points to close at 12,402.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Panasonic is moving its headquarters down the road from Secaucus, New Jersey, to Newark. When the company announced the move last month, it said it was attracted to Newark's public transit system. But there's also a $100 million package of tax credits involved. From the Transportation Nation Project at WNYC, Andrea Bernstein reports.
The Panasonic move is a huge deal for Newark, a historically depressed city still mired in the memory of 1967 riots. Mayor Cory Booker couldn't have been more ecstatic.
Surely in my lifetime, there is no man I have tried to woo more than Joe Taylor.
Taylor is the CEO of Panasonic. He says his company is leaving its headquarters in Secaucus, New Jersey, because there too many of its employees have to drive to work.
We couldn't possibly demonstrate our commitment and our credibility to being a green company and ask 1,000 people to drive their car to work every day.
Panasonic will locate within a block of Newark Penn Station, with connections to Amtrak and several commuter rail lines. It also helped that Panasonic reaped more than a $100 million urban transit hub tax credit. If a big company locates near a transit line, it gets a bundle of goodies from the state. Pete Kasabach of the planning group New Jersey Future says it makes sense.
Our distressed cities in particular need some incentives in order to bring the first wave of companies back in.
The measure was pushed through by the former Democratic governor, John Corzine, an environmentalist. But it's been embraced by the current governor, Republican Chris Christie, a famous cost cutter, because he says it will help the economy. Pete Kasabach.
In many ways, we hope that other states don't do this.
Mayor Booker says because of the transit tax credit, he's got four or five more companies on the line.
It's going to help us land a few more big whales.
But Booker acknowledges it's not just being near transit. It's the financial incentives for the companies.
You know, I think it's both. But let's be clear. The money was the major, major factor.
Have your employees ride transit, get government cash. That's a formula Booker hopes will make Newark go ka-ching. I'm Andrea Bernstein for Marketplace.
And finally to Florida, where a man is suing the Winn-Dixie supermarket chain and a flower importer. The man says he suffered pain, disfigurement, medical bills, and lost wages after pricking his finger on the thorn of a rose he bought. The suit says the roses should have been dethorned and the stems should have been wrapped more carefully. The man, by the way, is asking for $15,000. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.